Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, the one who showers us with all these generous gifts so that we in praise and in thanks can give him the praise and the glory. As you listen to today's lessons, perhaps especially the first one and the gospel, today is one of those Sundays that brings out the best and perhaps the worst in God's people. Here we are wanting to praise our Lord and our God. We want to sing, we want to honor, we want to give Him all the glory. We're looking for opportunities to thank Him no matter what the situations are in life. But even as we do that, we recognize that there are others around us who are trying to do the same thing. And sometimes we get in the way. While I am so busy trying to praise my Lord and my God and so busy giving Him the honor and doing what I can to praise Him, I am actually at times hindering somebody else from using their gifts and praising their Lord and offering Him worship and praise. Maybe it's because of jealousy. Maybe it's because I think I know better than they do. Whatever the reasoning might be. No wonder you and I gather then this morning to rejoice in all the gifts that God gives, not just the gifts He gives to me, but the gifts that He gives to His entire church. The Lord's people use the Lord's gifts. That's going to guide our thoughts as you and I turn our attention back to our first lesson from Numbers chapter 11 that we read moments ago. The Lord's people use the Lord's gifts. I have gifts to serve. You have gifts to serve. We think about those gifts as we turn our attention to Moses. And as you and I read in chapter 11, we find out that Moses needed some help. He needed some help because the people were busy complaining. You go back to the beginning of chapter 11 and we read this. The people were complaining about their hardships so that the Lord heard it. When the Lord heard it, His anger burned. So the Lord's fire burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord. So the fire died down. They named that place Taberah because the Lord's fire burned among them. This isn't all that long after leaving Sinai. We're still within that first year after leaving Egypt. Sinai is where they heard God's voice. They saw the glory of the Lord. They heard His will. They received the ceremonial laws. They learned how they were God's special possession and how they were going to be different from the rest of the world and how God was the one who was going to lead them and carry them and watch over them and take care of them. And they're leaving Sinai and they're beginning their trip and all they can do is grumble. Grumble and complain. And you know probably enough of Old Testament history to understand that things like burning the outskirts of the camp didn't really seem to slow down the grumbling. The very next verse, still in chapter 11, the foreign rabble who were among the Israelites were overcome by their craving. The Israelites also wept once again and said, "Who is going to give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate in Egypt. Free of charge, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our lives are wasting away. We have nothing at all to look at except this manna." Oh, the good old days. How wonderful it would be to be in Egypt, carrying bricks and carrying straw. They grumble about the very gifts that God had given to them. The manna that He miraculously provided day after day. Moses needed help. People were complaining. So maybe it's not a complete and total surprise that part of the reason Moses needed help is because he was complaining too. Moses heard people from all the clans weeping, each one at the entrance to his own tent. At the same time, the Lord's anger burned fiercely, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your eyes? Why do you put the burden of these people on me? Did I conceive all these people by myself? Am I the one who gave birth to them so that you tell me to carry them in my arms to the land which you swore to their fathers, just as a woman who is nursing carries a baby? Or is there meat for me to give all these people? Listen, they are weeping to me and saying, 'Give us meat so that we can eat.' I am not able to carry all these people by myself because that is too much for me. If you are going to treat me this way, please kill me right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let me see my own ruin." Moses needed help. The people were grumbling. He was grumbling. It seemed it was all so hopeless. So the Lord comes and he helps. The first thing that he does is he satisfies the immediate need of the people that was causing them to grumble, and so he promises to give them meat. In fact, you can tell that God is still a bit upset with their grumbling because he says, "I'm going to give you meat. You're going to have meat. In fact, you're going to have so much meat that's going to come out of your noses and you're going to be sick of it. But I'll listen to you." But then he also helps Moses, and that's where our lesson that we read at the beginning of our service begins. He comes and he says, "I'm going to help you, Moses. I'm going to help you carry this burden. You go pick 70 men, 70 elders, 70 who already have some gifts, who are already recognized as elders and leaders in the people. Gather them together and have them come stand in front of the tent of meeting." That's where the installation service is going to take place. Those elders come, and while they stood there, the Lord comes in the cloud. The glory of the Lord. That in itself is significant. Every time you and I see the glory of the Lord, God is acting on behalf of His people. The Savior God is coming to do something for His people. He wants to help Moses, and so the glory of the Lord comes, encourages Moses, builds him up, and then makes it very clear that the very same Lord who had given Moses the gifts he needed to lead these people is now the one who is giving the gifts to those elders. We're told that he takes from the Spirit he had given to Moses and he gives it to those elders. And so that it is very clear what God is doing, so that it is obvious that these men are given these gifts by the Lord to use for the Lord's glory, they prophesy. Only happened once. At one time, to let the people know, these are the ones God has set aside. The Lord's people use the Lord's gifts. I have gifts. I'm going to be using the word "I," but I'm kind of speaking somewhat from Moses' point of view, but I'm also going to be speaking because every one of us can say this. I have gifts. And maybe there are times when I think about the gifts that the Lord gives to me when I wonder if they are all that special and all that needed. But perhaps think of it this way. I have gifts to serve. A little bit later on in this lesson, you heard Moses say, if only the Lord would put His Spirit on all of God's people. He does. Remember Pentecost? When Peter quoted from the prophet Joel, the time was going to come when God was going to put His Spirit on everybody, young, old, men, women. I have gifts to serve. That amazing gift of Pentecost reminds me that the greatest and most important gift that I have to serve is the fact that I know who Jesus is. And I know what He has done. I have that amazing gift of faith planted into my heart, put there at my baptism when God wrapped me in His grace, claimed me as His own, and says, here is this most amazing gift. You are my child. I have gifts to serve. Living in faith, rejoicing in God's grace, hearing what He has to say, that's what gives those gifts, that's what drives those gifts, that's what makes us look for whatever opportunities there are to use those gifts. The Lord's people use the Lord's gifts, built on that amazing gift of faith and trust in our Lord and our God. I have gifts to serve. So am I serving? Or am I complaining? Am I serving? Or am I grumbling about what God has given? Do I look at what He gives to others and I wonder how come I don't have it? Do I grumble and take for granted the amazing gifts and generous gifts that God has poured out on me? Do I forget that these are the Lord's gifts and I'm too wrapped up doing my own thing, thinking my own way? And perhaps standing in the way of others. the Lord's people use the Lord's gifts. I have gifts to serve. They may be different than yours, but that's okay. I have gifts to serve. As we marvel at that amazing gift of faith, as we marvel at that amazing call to repentance, as you and I marvel that I am God's child simply because He says so, that's what lets me respond. I have gifts to serve, but I'm not the only one. The Lord's people use the Lord's gifts. Yes, I have gifts to serve. You have gifts to serve. That comes out as you and I think about the second part of that lesson. We're introduced to two of those 70 elders, Eldad and Medad. We're told that as the installation service was going on at the tent of meeting, for whatever reason, these two gentlemen did not go out. They stayed behind in the camp. They were numbered among those 70. They were the ones who were chosen by Moses, recognized as people who were leaders and elders among the people. We don't know why they didn't go out. There's been speculation as to why they didn't go out, but perhaps the safest thing we can say is it doesn't appear to be any form of rebellion. It doesn't seem to be any form of sin on their part because God gave them the gifts. He poured out His Spirit on them, even though they weren't standing over there by Moses and the rest of the elders. They too prophesied. That outward, visible verification that these were the Lord's gifts, not Moses' gifts, the Lord's gifts. And they were there to use them. Now, of course, as you can imagine, that caused quite a stir within the camp when all of a sudden these two guys just start prophesying. They're doing something that is out of the ordinary. And you've got this one young man who really thinks Moses ought to know about this, and so he goes running. Moses, these two guys, Meldad and Edad, they're busy prophesying in the camp. God had given them gifts. God had offered them the opportunity to serve. Joshua wasn't so sure about this. Moses, my Lord, stop them. Perhaps he's seeing this as usurping some authority. Others had tried that. Perhaps he sees this as a threat to his Lord and his Master. So he wants this put to a stop. The other 68, that was pretty obvious. They're standing there with Moses. It's pretty clear that this is okay, but there must be something else going on over here. If only. In some ways, those are maybe some of the most beautiful words in the verses. If only. Are you jealous for me? Are you really thinking that somehow my authority or my gifts are being challenged because of what God is doing? If only all of God's people were prophets. If only all of God's people were busy using their gifts to praise their Lord and their God. Well, that'd be a big problem, wouldn't it? If only. The Lord's people use the Lord's gifts. How easy it is for you and for me to become Joshua's and John's. First lesson and the gospel lesson are kind of similar. In both cases, you've got Joshua talking with Moses, you've got John talking with Jesus, trying to put a stop to someone else using the gifts, forgetting that you have gifts. I'm not the only one with gifts. And yet how easy it is to think that somebody else's gifts are wrong, insignificant, misplaced, misdirected, a threat. That whatever you are doing is a threat to me. When you use your gifts, that somehow diminishes what I'm supposed to be doing. And then all of a sudden, instead of God's church being brought together and being united and working like a body, we find ourselves busy tearing each other apart, tearing each other down, destroying the work that is going on, breeding distrust instead of cooperation, hindering the proclamation of the gospel instead of getting it out there. It is very easy for us to get so selfish and so self-centered that we act like Joshua and we act like John. That's one of the worst when it comes to being in God's family, isn't it? Boy, and Satan would love nothing more He would love nothing more than to watch us tear ourselves apart because I don't think you should use your gifts. The Lord's people use the Lord's gifts. You have gifts. Again, remember, I'm trying to speak for all of us. I have gifts to serve. Don't take them for granted. Don't set them aside. Don't think that you are the only one who can serve or that your gifts somehow don't count. But don't forget that you have gifts too. Rejoice in those gifts. I can't have all the gifts. I can't do everything that is necessary. How amazing it is that God in His amazing grace helps just like He helped Moses. Moses couldn't do it all. So He gives others to help. You and I are gathered in this building right now. We are gathered here as a congregation because we all have gifts. We all have opportunities to serve. We all have a chance to, later on in this week, look at some of the specific opportunities. What is my specific gift and how can I use that to be a blessing to you and to give glory to my God? For now, we just rejoice in the fact that you have gifts to serve. Rejoice in those gifts. Rejoice when you get to see God bless the work of others and how that encourages others and encourages me so that I'm better at using my gifts. Rather than tearing things apart, you and I stand together, work together, marvel together at the amazing grace of our Lord and our God because the Lord's people use the Lord's gifts. Think about that. We've said that phrase a couple of different times now. But perhaps those first couple of words are the greatest words in this entire conversation. The Lord's people. That's what I am. That's what you are. The Lord's people. I am. Unchanging in His love and His mercy and His grace has reached out to you. I am, in His love and His grace and His mercy, sent His one and only Son to live and die and rise for you. I am, wants you to be part of His family, and so He makes it possible for you to be part of His family. And He reminds you that nobody is going to take you out of His family because you are the Lord's people. When things are going great, you are the Lord's people. When things are not going so great, you're the Lord's people. And now we get to take His gifts. I have gifts to serve. You have gifts to serve. And that's how everybody else is going to know that we are the Lord's people. Amen.